Today's sermon is based on the gospel reading, Jesus' words concerning John the Baptist. Please reconsider these words. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Thus our text. You may be seated. Today's scripture teaches that those who cast aside all worldly expectations are the ones who have ears to hear the word of God. Those who cast aside worldly expectations have ears to hear. This is first because the deeds of Christ are not what we would expect. Second, this is because Christ's messengers are not whom we would expect. And third, this is because the passive suffering of Christ and of his church till he comes again are at the hands of the violent is not what we would expect. These three things, the deeds of Christ, his messengers, and suffering, are the causes of offense and stumbling for those who have worldly expectations of success, of victory, of honor and glory here. But those with ears to hear know that success and honor and victory await them in heaven. The deeds of Christ are not what we would expect. They are not what John the Baptist expected. John expected the deeds of the coming Christ to be judgment and wrath and condemnation for all the injustice that God's enemies have gotten away with until now. John was preaching a baptism of repentance. Because the Christ was on his way, with his winnowing fork in his hand, gathering his wheat into the barn, and throwing the chaff into the furnace of unquenchable fire. And John was right, because that is exactly what will happen when Jesus Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. The scriptures say so. John says so, because he knew it, and he was sent by God to preach it. But before the Christ would come in judgment, he would come to heal and to save. When John in prison sends his disciples to ask Jesus if he really is the Messiah to come, Jesus doesn't say yes. Instead, he points to his deeds, the deeds of the Christ. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. This is what Jesus did. Now, John never preached these deeds of the Christ, as far as we know, but they are what Isaiah the prophet said the Christ would do when he came. And this no doubt gave comfort and assurance to John, who was at this time in prison, who had expected Jesus to immediately bring justice rather than allowing his messenger to suffer injustice, imprisonment at the hands of Herod, that fox. The second reason you need to cast aside all worldly expectations to hear the word of God is because Christ's messengers are not whom you would expect. After John's disciples left, Jesus turned to the crowds and he rebukes their doubts of John and of John's ministry. He exposes the conceit of their worldly expectations, as they were likely now doubting John's ministry because he was in prison. He can't have really been a prophet of God if he's in prison. God wouldn't allow his messengers to be treated so. You see, the world expects a messenger from God to be a reed in the wind, bending his doctrine to whatever the people want to hear, and that way he'll never get thrown in prison. So you have family who wants communion even if they're not Lutheran. That is, they hold to some false doctrine. Well, love wins. I will change what God's word says about fellowship and communion to make you happy. Reed in the wind. The world expects a messenger of God to be a priss. What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. The world expects a messenger from God to have creased shirt sleeves and a detailed car. John wore camel's hair and ate locusts and wild honey. Yet he was sent by God. And the world expects a messenger to be distant. Moses, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, they were all prophets. And I'll tell you, there's a comfort in having dead prophets or truth providers who are not in your face. You can think that Jeremiah is your buddy because he's not here to confront you face to face. Jesus quotes the prophet Micah. What then did you come out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, John is a prophet, and he is more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah. It's easy to listen to them because they're dead. They live with God, waiting for the resurrection of the dead, but they're not in front of you. You can have their names in a Bible on your shelf, and they're only in your face when you open it. And even when you open it, you can twist their words to justify yourself, and Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah can't do anything about it. Having prophets who are dead men, words on a page like Moses and Elijah, that's what the crowds expected. But John was in their face, as any true preacher is today. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face. People were then saying, I believe what Moses says. I believe what Elijah says, but this new preacher, this John, I reject. He is too blank. He is not enough blank. Moses and Elijah, they were professionals. This John, he's too unprofessional, not a gentleman at all. Robe of camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey. What a barbarian. Bohemian, uncultured, unrefined. He's an embarrassment before the world, I know. And he's trying to tell me how to live my life? He's no Moses. He's no Elijah. So too, all preachers today who don't base their office on their readiness to bend God's word or their prissiness, all such preachers are sent to be in your face on the pure doctrine of Christ. And Jesus says, listen to them. He who hears you hears me. That's why he still calls pastors and preachers now until the end of the age to be before your face. You can say, I don't need a preacher. I have the Bible. I have Moses, Elijah, John, Jesus. Yes, but you can open and shut their mouths at will by opening and shutting the scriptures when you please. And if that's the case, you may not hear them. But a preacher you have to listen to because he's in your face. And this is pleasing to God. Jesus says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah to come. Jesus says, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than this John the Baptist. You prefer Moses or Elijah? Jesus says to you, John is every bit as great as them. But Moses and Elijah aren't before your face right now. If they were, you would reject them, just as their people rejected them in their time. But John is here. And you reject him because he's before you, before your face. And you can't close his book like Moses or Elijah. He's here, calling for your repentance. Listen to him. He's here and pointing you to me, the Christ. So says Jesus to the crowds. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Moses is not greater than John. But the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. This is because John was a forerunner. He did not have what you have. He was even confused about the humility of the Messiah, his coming sufferings and death. You need not be, because though you wait for Jesus to come again, you know he has already come first to justify you, to die on the cross for your sins and justify you and all who accept him. Finally, the reason you need to cast aside all worldly expectations to really hear the word of God is because the passive suffering of Christ and of his church at the hands of the violent is not what the world would expect of God. John, who preached like a boss at the Jordan, is here in prison. Eventually, he will be beheaded there. Jesus comes to save, but he will be unacceptable to some and will be rejected because he's not what the world considers a winner. He will suffer pain. He will suffer injustice on the cross. And he will suffer it willingly. Not fighting back, not saving himself. And so Jesus says, some will be offended by me. They will be literally scandalized by the idea of a suffering Savior and will turn instead to idols that promise prissy salvation but never deliver. Yet Jesus says, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. From the days of John the Baptist until now, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Take it by force. You see, the unexpected thing about Jesus when he came to the world and about the kingdom of heaven is that it can be resisted. And evil men can come and turn people away from the kingdom and silence God's word by putting his messengers to death, in the case of John the Baptist, for instance. This is not because God is powerless, but because he ordained that when he sent his son to save, he would not force belief. If you are willing to accept it, Jesus says, so too, God brings his kingdom of grace to be accepted, not by force, but by faith. And the one who has faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, accepts the kingdom when it comes. And the one who doesn't tries to take the kingdom by force, violently oppressing the faithful and thinking that their pressed suits and their dead prophets help them stand before God. They will fall. But you, who suffer violence for righteousness' sake, you turn the other cheek when oppressed. The violent will come to take your worldly possessions, maybe your job, maybe your reputation, and they might take it by force. Don't fight back. Suffer and preach the gospel. As an example of suffering, Paul says, and of patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. There is your gift. There is your treasure. And you can suffer all things for knowledge that God is merciful to you. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the world uses that as proof of its own victory. But it is already lost. There is coming a new heaven and a new earth. And as Isaiah the prophet says today, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Lord Jesus, come quickly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.